Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 96, part 2, No One But Jesus. Today is Sunday, May 3rd, 2009. April showers bring May flowers. Here we are, May 2009. Thank you for joining me. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota in the USA. Pastor Paul's mission, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, is located in the Disciples Ministries historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. Now, if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you're a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. And you can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our online community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, the store, Twitter, and YouTube. So be sure to join us online at www.pastorpaul.org. You can also find show notes at the blog where you can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. And also at the blog, you're going to find links to scriptures within the show notes, so be sure to go to check those out. I hope you're enjoying our two-part podcast episodes that are aired on Friday night, as well as Sunday morning. So be sure to check both parts out. God bless you and have a great week. Have a great spring. And don't forget to smell the flowers along the way.
I prayed with a hobo the other day and I said, and pray after me, Lord, I am a sinner. He says, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And almost said, you don't have to go through all that. You're just simply a sinner. That isn't going to carry any weight because that you shouted real loud that you know that. What do you know? You don't know nothing. I didn't say that, but I mean, that's the truth, isn't it? It's sort of a disguise puff-up. I know I'm a sinner. And it looks all around to see if everybody's, I admit it, yeah. Hasn't got a thing to do with it. Well, see, it's not his awakening, but it's his sinnership. That's the method and the plan upon which he dares to come. His sinnership. not his awakening. I have been awakened. Lord, I have been awakened, and now I come to you. No, when a person knows they're a sinner, they simply go, Lord, I am a sinner, save me. I mean, the Holy Spirit shuts their mouth. They don't give up and give a 40-minute testimony. Say amen, somebody. You ever hear somebody gets up and gives a 40-minute testimony about their garbage can? Just take a look at that scungy thing, and they'll talk about their garbage can for about 2 hours. And people all over the country have them get up and give their testimony about their garbage can. All they have to say was, I found out. The Spirit moved on me. I'm a sinner. That's all I can say. Now I have no more today to say about myself. Even now, I'm a sinner and I come to Christ. And I come to the cross the same way. Oh, God, yes. Then some say to the sinner, now if you feel you have a need for Christ, oh, what wrong preaching. If you feel that you have a need of Christ, if you have repented so much, if you have been hassled by the law enough, then you will give up and come to Christ. Okay, they say, now you've went through all that and now you can come to Christ on the grounds that you are an awakened sinner. And to all that preaching, I say false. Because you see, when a person in the natural wakes up, are they fit and ready to go to work? Are they? When they are awakened in the morning, are they fit to go to work? No. And when you are awakened by your own admission, without God showing you something, without a divine awakening, you aren't fit. Say amen, somebody. Well, when your baby is born, does it have any merits? Would it warrant any medals? No. No, friends. When I come to Jesus, I know I don't come unless I am awakened. But still, I do not come as an awakened sinner. I don't stand, I'm saying, at the foot of the cross to be washed because I have repented. I bring nothing when I come but sin. When I go to the cross, I bring nothing but sin to the cross. Do you see it? You don't say, I repent and I come to the cross. You come as a sinner. You have nothing to say. All you have to give is your sins. All you have to show is your sins. I have been awakened. No. Are you some kind of a sleeping spiritual giant or what? You're a sinner. Oh, and that's why we get so puffed up, don't you see? I bring nothing, but I bring my sin. The sense of need is a good feeling, but when I stand at the foot of the cross, I do not believe this. I do not believe in Christ because I have got good feelings. But I believe in Him whether I have good feelings or not. See, a lot of times we're not believing in Jesus Christ. We're not doing the works of the Lord because we're not having good feelings. How many are hearing this? God, if I hadn't learned that early in my ministry, not to go by feelings, and if I didn't learn that early in my ministry, to put all my attention on the Lord Jesus Christ, I would have been defeated a long, long time ago. I won't tell you that. If I thought that I had to have a special awakening every day on my own, never would have happened. But somehow I would have got a hold of the glory. What's that song? Just as I am without a plea, but that thy blood, oh, was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come, O Lord, O Lord, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. You haven't got anything. No, it's not by feelings. It's not scriptural, folks. It's not by might, not by power, the word says, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. They come on the very ground of being sinners and no other ground whatsoever. Over the grave of mercy I know is written, this is the faithful saying and worthy of all expectation, that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. It only says sinners. 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 And to this day I still come a sinner to the cross with nothing in my hands. Nothing. I don't come with something in my hands. I come to the cross as a sinner every day. I don't come to the cross. You come to the cross with your sins. I don't come up and say, well, Lord, I've got a few sins here. Of course, let's check over, really. Let's add this up and all the good things I've done here. I mean, well, I'm give credit where credit's due, Father. Yes, yes, just give credit. Oh, Holy Spirit, help me there. Give me the right words. Praise God. And go up there with that kind of a stink. You come as a sinner. Oh, people listening, say 50 years, I mean, even 100 years, I mean, if you live that long, just admit it, you're a sinner. You come to the cross the same as someone just saved. You have nothing in your hands. You have nothing to boast of. There's no glory. You're a sinner come to the cross. How many hear this? Oh, but I've grown, I've elevated, I'm a mediator. Oh, God, what a stupid thing for a pastor to say. If you feel that you have a need, you may come to Christ. I started thinking about my children when they were little, and I thought, well, my children... Do your children feel they have a need when they're out having fun and you say to them, it's time to come in now? But I don't want to. You have to put a desire within them to come in, right? Oh, but then some say, I do not feel my need enough. A person called me on the one. You know, Pastor Paul, I guess it's that I just don't feel my need enough. Another one calls, oh, if my conscience would be pricked a little more. Or if my heart, another one says, were softened. Oh, but I think I'm too cold. And these are all boastings. Another one says, I can't feel as I should. Therefore, I can't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I tell them all? I say, this is a thought from the Antichrist. It is not your soft heart that entitles you to believe. The softening of your heart. No, you are to believe in Jesus Christ, and He will then renew your heart. After that, you believe. Okay. I started thinking, it's kind of like you have a stub, see, and you go in to the pawn shop, see, and you got Jesus is holding the tickets. And you got these redemption tickets here with the number of the sins on them. And you bring them in and you bring them to the pawn shop and you're redeemed. Your life. You're redeemed. You admit, I'm a sinner. Matches up. Your admission. And you're bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And He says, you're free. You've been redeemed. Here's the gift of eternal life. See, what we got to get across, it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit, saith the Lord. Are you hearing? By my Spirit. You know what? I repented mostly after that I was saved. How many repented mostly after they were saved? Put your hands up. After you got saved, you started repenting. How many are repenting right now? I repented and I got saved. Not true. God gave you the quickening. God gave you the sense, and God gave you a sense of need. And Jesus Christ is the one that saved you. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by the Spirit. See, and we've got to knock down all these false things so that people will come to the cross and not wait for their heart to be softened. Or saying, I'm too cold. Or I don't feel as I should. I came as a sinner and I'm coming that way right now. Whosoever will, let him come. It doesn't say anything about weary and heavy laden. No, yes, but in another spot it does say that. Besides, while the invitation is given to the weary and the heavy laden, they didn't know it until they were given rest. The other day I was working along and I said, oh, I feel great. I could go another 3 or 4 hours and then go out and play a basketball game. Okay, let's take a break. Let's take a rest. And I sat down and I took a rest. But after I sat down, I was taking a rest, then I knew I needed the rest. Not until I came into rest did I realize that I needed it. Not until I came to know Jesus did I know that I was having a bum time and I needed a rest. Not until after I was saved did I realize how tired I was. God, I said, I am tired. And after I sat down and I rested, then I realized, my God, this is what I needed, a rest from myself and from the world and from the devil and from the principalities and the powers and spiritual wickedness and high in heavenly place. Lord, I needed this, but I didn't realize it until I came to rest itself, Jesus Christ. I didn't know my need until I received. And after that I received, I realized, oh, man. Now I got revelations. And not until people are saved are they going to have a realization that they need a rest. And so you can minister to the drunk and to the dope addict and to the adulterer and all these people and say, you have a need. You're talking on deaf ears. They need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ or they'll never even know that they have him. They won't even know that they have a need yet. And so, oh, brother, you go down and you minister to these hobos and stuff. Well, they're not fit to receive Jesus. Yes, they need to be brought in and schooled a little bit and cleaned up and polished up and slicked up. You know, and they got to be made. You know. I say, let me tell you something. They're made by the Holy Spirit to be made ready. I have prayed with people and I says, have I prayed with you yet? And they wrap their arms immediately around me and start to pray for salvation. And I can tell you right now, as a personal witness, isn't this right? That down there on that hobo bus right now, there are changed lives. That is not the same group of men that came in there. Not the same group of people. Oh, they never went to church before. And they never sang hymns before. And they never, you know, danced in the Holy Ghost. They never did any of these things. But the object was Jesus Christ. And what was lacking in their lives that they didn't even know of was Jesus. And what quickened them was the Holy Spirit to see and sense that they had a need. And then all we have to do is obey the Lord and offer Christ. And the road is all open. And they're all ready. And they receive Jesus. And miraculous things happen. And they change. That's not the same as it was. They come in the bus and they tell each other, hey, this is the Lord's house. No swearing in here. They tell each other. You don't swear in here. This is the Lord's house. What changed them? Jesus. Say amen. Oh, we'd love to take credit. Disciples ministry went down there and we showed them the way. We convinced them that they were sinners. Are you hearing this? Please listen. Please listen. Yoo-hoo. Please listen. How many are hearing this? Please listen to me, brother. Praise God. I'm just about done. Oh, but in the natural, many times we don't realize how weary we are until we come to a rest. What's the Bible say? Let me close this message now. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. If you do come, never mind the qualifications or the duties or the feelings either. When we pass out food to the poor, I have never heard some poor person say, I am so poor, therefore I am not fit for relief. Poverty is your preparation. Poverty of spirit. When I came to know Jesus Christ, I had poverty of spirit. Would I then say, I'm too poor to come to Jesus? I got to get built up in the faith before I can receive Him? I don't have any faith yet. How can I get built up in that which I don't even have yet. No, you have to offer Christ to people. I've heard people say that's a strange contradiction. The only thing you can bring to Christ is your sin and your wickedness. Nothing more. All he asks is that you will come empty. And now fourthly, the warrant of faith. Or why a man dares to trust Jesus Christ. And why does he dare to trust Jesus Christ? I'm going to tell you why. It's real simple. Because Jesus Christ tells him to. What do you mean by that? Because he tells you to. What warrants his believing? Jesus tells him to. Don't you tell your children, I'm telling you. Now that kid believes you because you told him. Maybe he won't obey. But what makes you believe in Jesus Christ? Because Jesus tells you to. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Not by what he feels, not by what he is, not by what he isn't, but Christ told him to do it. Is that enough? The gospel says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He that believeth shall not be damned. Oh, but that's too simple. Explain it. You know, the gospel is simple. It's so simple. Faith in Jesus Christ then is commanded. It is a commanded duty as well as a blessed privilege. And oh, I thought what a mercy it is that it is a duty. Now on the ground that God commands me to believe, I have a right to believe. The gospel is sent to every creature. No guesswork now. Do it and live. No feelings involved. No. God says, do it. Is that simple? This is the warrant. And this is the blessed warrant. Hell can't refute it. Heaven won't withdraw it. And you don't have to look within yourself. You don't have to look to your own works. No. You may believe because Christ tells you to. And I thought, boy, that is sure ground to stand on. I simply believe because God, Jesus Christ, do it. Does that make it simple? No defining. No refining. Just do it. Every excuse you can think of is put down. Christ says, come, I command you to believe. Obey and live. And I'll save you, he says, to the uttermost. Now lastly, result of faith, or how it is it speeds up when we come to Christ. The text says, he that believeth is not condemned. I believe right now there is a man listening to me on the radio just now that has just now believed, and he is just by his believing not condemned. You, sir, are not condemned because your believing just opened up. You saw the simple part of the message and you said, oh, I'm commanded to believe. Well, then I'm going to obey. I'm going to receive Jesus Christ simply because I am a sinner. I admit that. But I admit it not on myself, but I admit it because the Spirit has quickened it to my heart that I am one. I can't boast in even being, knowledgeable about those things. It's a work of the Holy Ghost. And I heard someone say then, how about the judgment day? Listen, it doesn't say he that believeth shall not be condemned. It says he that believeth is not condemned right now. Right there at judgment day. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ right now, 50 years from now, that stands. The sin right now, the scapegoat, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is your scapegoat. Jesus. I am a sinner. I will be that until I leave here, but it's the only way I can come. And Jesus says, come. And so all we have to minister to people is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's a commandment to the sinner. It's a commandment to the saved in their walk. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. How much do you believe on Jesus Christ when you want to get out of some kind of sin? How much do you want to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ when you're next to some kind of sin? It's where you're believing. Jesus says, you just believe and I'll take you right through that thing. You just believe and I won't take you around, I won't take you over, under, I'll take you right on through it. It's your believing. It's nothing we can boast in. My God, I am so happy for the simple message. Although it isn't too simple, is it? It's simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. You can't boast in even that your own convicting thing. It's a conviction of the Holy Spirit. It's the saving power of the Holy Spirit. It's the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It's the life of Jesus Christ. The life I now live, I live in faith. It's no longer I that live, but Christ in me. Hallelujah! Isn't that a glorious message? Simply taking it out and telling the people, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you shall be saved for an eternity. Oh, God, it's so great. I can't stand it sometimes. It's so simple that I just have to, how am I going to explain it to these people? I don't have to. God has commanded you to believe. Oh, I feel frumpy. Believe past frumps. Believe past downtime. I got downtime. Don't have. Believe past that. The other day, as an example, I had a truckload out here. It's several tons of different food items inside of it. And the truck driver came and says, man, you have no one here to take care of this truck. Everything has to be lifted off by hand. I says, man, don't let that worry you. Open up the doors of that truck and God will bring help. And a guy crossed the alley. I says, young man, down this way. He says, looked like I came just on time. I said, yes. Another guy came up, stuck his head out of the truck. What's going on? I says, here, take this box. Before we were done, within about 20 minutes, there were 12 people carrying boxes like ants running in and out of this place. The guy says, boy, are you ever a politician? I says, it ain't got nothing to do with it. The life that I now live, I live by faith. Boy, is it ever fun. We didn't have to carry all these boxes in because we didn't want to have to get a, boy, we're doing all the work around here. This seems like nobody ever comes around. I just tell you, it just disgusts me. And here's all these workers, because the life I live by faith now. And God bought a whole bunch and half of them just strangers I've never seen before in my whole living life. And there they come in, carry all these old boxes and stack them up, neat as you please, and they're obedient to Christ. Are you hearing this message tonight? It's not by might, and it's not by power, and it's not by your ups and downs. And my God, stop complaining about that. Oh, Christianity is so hard sometimes. It just seems like, oh, it's hard. Why? Because your believing is down. All you have to do is believe on the Lord. Hallelujah. Believe on Him. Believe past the faces. My God, there's faces all around you. Frumpy faces, down faces, overly happy faces when you aren't so happy faces. And all that. Believe past them. Are you hearing it? My God, it's a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus only. See Him only. See Him only. See Him only. And that's the message for today. See Jesus only. Hallelujah. He's the only one that you see. You don't have to see a frumped out mate. See Jesus. Look past him. See Jesus. Put Jesus up in front of that mate. How many heard this tonight? My God. See Jesus only. Now, I hope I did get that message across. That you got to see on Jesus. There is someone sitting here tonight that doesn't know for sure that they're saved or not. Don't you walk out of here without being saved. And don't use all them excuses either. They're not excuses. Simply believe on the Lord. You are commanded to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and have everlasting life, eternal life. Is there anyone in here that doesn't have Jesus? You can just put your hand up. Maybe I've never asked you before. Right there. I'll pray with you, honey. Okay, you'll be sure when you leave here, because you're obeying. And how about you, sir? I've never asked you. Are you born again? Okay. See, I never asked, so we got to ask. How about you? Are you born again? Anyone else in here that isn't born again? You are commanded to believe. Isn't that a good message to tell someone? I mean, they're all arguing. I'm too cold. I have a heart. I haven't been pricked. I don't see my need yet. Okay, here's the message. You are commanded to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and have everlasting life. And if you don't have life, you have death and everlasting hellfire. Make your decision. Good day. You don't have to argue it. It's a commandment. See Jesus only. Doesn't that cut down the counseling? Doesn't that cut down the arguments? Now you're looking at the world today, and you see this on TV about all the weaponry and everything. Hey, that's just prophecy being fulfilled. There are only a few short years left at the very most. Oh, it's so good to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes all that fear away, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Some boob is going to make a mistake. Somebody's going to be upset at their wife, or they're going to be disgusted they didn't get a job, a certain job. Oh, okay, I'll show you guys. And they're going to push the wrong button. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be a mistake. Don't be too concerned about world conditions right now. God is allowing things to happen to fulfill prophecy. Don't get into arguing politics too much. God is fulfilling prophecy. He's got just the right people in there right now. It's exciting. Believe on the... You got fear here tonight? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That'll take care of your fear.
Thank you.
Let's pray with you, honey. You pray after me and say, Dear Lord Jesus,
Dear Lord Jesus,
I am a sinner.
I am a sinner.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
And save me.
And save me.
Now, Jesus...
Jesus.
Baptize and fill me,
baptize and fill
with God's Holy Spirit.
God's Holy Spirit.
Give me wisdom and knowledge.
Give me wisdom and knowledge.
Peace, joy, and love.
Peace, joy, and love.
And Lord.
A new language.
To praise your holy name.
To praise your holy name.
Praise God, I am saved.
Praise God, I am saved.
And filled. With God's Holy Spirit.
With God's Holy Spirit.
And nothing can take that away from me.
And nothing can take that away from you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Never doubt your salvation again. The Antichrist would like to have you to not to remember.
So with your till.